Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Last of Us podcast, episode 26. We are going to be doing another one of our really lovely and always super additive deep dives on the show. So I hope this finds you all well. We have been making our way through this truly astounding first season of the show. And it has been like episode after episode, like from strength to strength. And it feels really good to say that without, you know, I haven't been beyond, I suppose, in the past, like talking something up, maybe beyond its sort of empirical, objective kind of attributes. Yeah, you know, I love what I love, but sometimes there is a disparity between like how much I love something and like how much the world loves it. But no, this one seems to have been universally embraced. So there you go. It is 11 a.m. here in Australia, and we are very much on the cusp of a big, big stream, probably the biggest stream. And you might be like, you're illuminated just by your lamplight, like my spotlight here. Yes, because if I were to open the window, then there would be a big old stream of bouncing light, and then this Shure SM7B would just be this flickery green mess, and we don't want that. So, yes, so let's dive on in. So Never Let Me Down, I've called this one, obviously in allusion to Never Let Me Down Again, the lyrics of the episode's kind of ending music. Obviously, we had Obel on the previous one, Shattering Our Hearts. I remember on the Patreon, I immediately sent the folks over there, which I may as well bring up here. Yes, you can, if you wanted to, jump on the show, as many have before, and discuss your thoughts on the episode and on various other amazing and really fun upcoming, yeah, like in their own way, doing what The Last of Us will do, which is something must have gotten into the waters of like Hollywood or these various other, you know, movie making establishments, what have you, but or series making, games even. There's just this agreement that we've kind of created with ourselves. I guess I'm on the community side, but I am an artist, so I understand the process of like doing the next thing and the next best thing and evolving what's being made. And maybe even by the end of the year, we're going to have some Elden Ring recordings later today. We might even be seeing some Elden Ring DLC. It's, and the unifying term I'd have for it is wanting to outdo oneself. And I think all of these, from The Last of Us to The Mandalorian to Dune Part 2, that's like the theme of 2023. I almost said 2003. I don't know why. Do not know. Maybe the Last of Us isms. But yes, go over to patreon.com/topicnetwork and jump on the show with us. I think it would be fun. So we are dialing things back, as we do on this network. We kind of, as the world kind of like rushes forward with these, I guess you would say the scroll past, and maybe I get a little bit curmudgeon-y here, but we just go right onto the next thing, right onto the next thing. And I specifically started these podcasts like starting way back in 2015 to like really like immerse and, you know, I call it metabolize, like really properly metabolize every aspect of something, like the literally the better to come out of it more informed and more delighted, you know. And then you can kind of go on later to tell people about it and enhance it for yourself and enhance it for others. It's what we want to be doing. So yeah, The Last of Us. And I'll just bring it up here on our always very helpful IMDb fun times. Here we go, and I'll just bring it up for you here. So if you are listening on podcast services, head over to youtube.com/@topicpodcastnetwork, and you'll find our live presentations, our live recorded episodes, which you can see if you're watching this right now. So fun times. Okay. So here it is. And always go top left. As soon as you go to any show's IMDb page, always think, immediately go top left, because then you can just go episode by episode. It's a very, very handy view. So yes, Kin is what we will be discussing today. Really, like, we've had another couple weeks actually to really, again, metabolize and like sit with. So 9.8, staying solid. If we were to peek back, it is, yeah, that's the average, is the 9-point-somethings for this series, you can see. My favorite destination, we might have some people from the Patreon, by the way. Yes, when you join the Patreon, you get the invite codes to all of these episodes. So I dare say that that'll be a bunch of fun to bring some people on that way, if they want to join in. And again, if you're on the Patreon or wanting to actually join right now an episode, you can actually comment right now. I'll send you the invite code, jump on the show, and we'll, as they say, figure it out later. So like, you can join the Patreon, we'll figure that out. But if you're feeling the vibe and you kind of want to jump on from the comments right now to the show to like join me, StreamYard's very intuitive that way. So yeah, feel free to do that. So here we go. We dive on in. So during Joel and Ellie's stay, the community center is showing the Neil Simon comedy, The Goodbye Girl, 1977. Craig Mazin explained why they chose this show, why they chose to show this movie. And on the series podcast, it wasn't just about a man and a woman falling in love. Mazin said that there was a kid, and the kid was saying, that would be a good dad. That was the love story. The scene that we show when they're watching the movie is really the first real meeting between this man and this little girl. So I will log in, and it's always nice to kind of, you know, people who have written these little contributions to kind of give them the like that they, you know, want to create a culture of reciprocity, folks, out there in the, certainly it's like the content replete internet, certainly, but kind of something that I'm trying to do my best to bring back, that idea of like, hey, you did something and I'll send you through the like, or I'll click the subscribe button or whatever. Speaking of which, like, share, and subscribe. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Particularly liking the episodes actually helps with making sure that they reach more people. So that's what I hear. So figured I'd pass that along. So anyway. So thank you, Random. I guess it would be cool to have the author of these little insights. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. Also, I think I might see if I can... Yeah, tell me later if that sounds nicer or sort of deeper and more full kind of audio wise when we have people in comments and such, or in chat, they can like feed me back on that. But yeah, let's continue. Oh, speaking of which, as in like the after show sort of format here, it is 11:14. We'll be talking essentially for the next hour-ish. We're keeping it very tight today because we have Last of Us, and then for the next 45, yeah, Last of Us, then Star Wars, Elden Ring, and then Dune, and then Last of Us again. So we'll be doing the deep dive of the latest episode, Left Behind, as sort of a Last of Us sandwich. And then from 4 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time to 8, I'm actually going to be watching a whole bunch of Carnival Row and Insomnia, so that's going to be obviously offline, not streamed. And then we jump back on at 9 p.m. for Avatar. So the Avatar podcast with Anastasia Oriole, who is a artist, dancer, tattooist extraordinaire over in the Avatar community. So figured I'd mention that too. And then we round out the night with some Carnival Row after shows, and at 11 p.m. My God. So this is 11 a.m. We're talking about 11 p.m. tonight. Nolan episode 3, talking about Insomnia and The Prestige. So that's a wonderful little bit of impromptu housekeeping. But yes, let us continue. So Craig Mazin wanted Joel and Ellie's argument to be almost identical to the game's version, including the blocking and set design, due to its effectiveness and the impact it had on him. He considered it the game's most famous scene. So love that. Most businesses in the town signed agreements regarding the show's impact, with the production paying $1,000 to $1,500 Canadian a day. Very interesting. Joel's mention of feeling as though he has lost something in his sleep was a contribution by Pedro Pascal. So that was Pedro, as highlighted in the official podcast really, really awesome. Also, if you're watching this and you felt like jumping in and riffing about some of what we're talking about, either in the comments or actually joining the show yourself, my God, that's like the entire purpose of the Topic Network. And would love to hear you, everyone, plural you, add your voices to the din, you know, to the discourse, to the mix. Approximately 300 extras were used, as well as horses. Excellent. That's what I mean. You know, this was a huge, talk about the difference between 5 and 6, like between this completely, I mean, it's outdoors and obviously between 6 and 7, episode 7, yeah, a little bit more claustrophobic, like especially in that sort of Halloween supplies store, you know, much more closed in. But so it really, really does merit like just going over and yeah, we'll bring up some images soon as well for you all. So the Horseshoe Dam from Alberta, west of Calgary, was the dam shown for Jackson, Wyoming. So what I'll do now, I'll just drag these little amazing facts off to the side and give you guys a little bit of a visual aid as we go along. So give me a quick little tick, folks. And I hope wherever this is playing for you, that you're having a good time, that it's a relaxing weekend. It's definitely the weekend in most places. Although, isn't it the every day somewhere at all times? I think it's like a Wednesday somewhere, right? No, I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering. But anyway, any doobies. So we'll bring up the photos, 139 photos on this episode alone. And we sort of begin this sort of like lovely storybook, which appropriately right there by a little fire. Isn't that nice? So yes, off we go. And let us continue. So, Jasmila Zbanish was offered to direct the previous two episodes, which take place in war-torn Kansas City, Missouri, as she had lived through the siege of Sarajevo, but she was more interested in this episode as it demonstrated a functioning society. So she felt that she had survived in Sarajevo due to solidarity, which she wanted to reflect in Jackson. So love that. Really, really good. Craig Mazin and co-creator Neil Druckmann wanted the beginning of the episode to provide levity after the traumatic ending of the previous episode, as well as to demonstrate the development in Joel and Ellie's relationship. This is why you'll see on our thumbnail, I had the twin instances of, you know, being on the horse going along, trotting along on their adventure, and then later in the episode when it's a bit fraught and they're a little bit more wary. Because obviously throughout The Last of Us, we tend to hope, it's sort of one of those hopes that we hold out that everything will just stop being scary and stop being frightening and that our characters will be okay, you know? So, and it's purposeful. It borders on torturous because you do want these characters to be safe and okay and happy. But what are you going to do? You know, it wouldn't be The Last of Us without the danger, you know. So, yeah. Joel uses his interrogation technique from the games on the elderly couple, although he only holds them up at gunpoint and doesn't physically harm them. Yeah, I love that beautiful little twist. Find them. I wonder if it would be easier to... Oh, look at this. I think I might share that to the Instagram. That's very, very sweet. I'll tidy it up and high res it. It's just beyond wholesome. This is why we watch The Last of Us. Hello to the one person watching, sending you love from wherever you happen to be. Feel free to chime in the comments and say hi. Lots of love from Australia. A haunting piano cover of Depeche Mode's Never Let Me Down Again, title of this episode of the podcast, plays over the ending of the episode and the credits. It is sung by Jessica Mazin, daughter of co-creator Craig Mazin. So this, did not know about. Very, very happy to have chronicled here on the podcast. That's so amazing. In the final moments of episode 1, long after Joel, Tess, and Ellie left Boston, the camera zoomed in on the radio as it played the original version of Never Let Me Down Again. And now that this song is back, emphasizing that Ellie and Joel are in serious trouble. Craig Mazin wanted the song to use a female voice to echo Ellie. He appreciated the moment as it involved Jessica, his real daughter, and Ramsey, whom he considered like an adopted daughter. So Jessica Mazin, everybody, let's dive on in. And you want to be, absolutely, based on that performance, which is so beautiful, head on over to this. Yeah, there she is right there. Thank you, Jessica, for the beautiful rendition. And let's follow you from, what are we logged into today? The Pokemon podcast. I was doing some Pokemon admin. So, yeah. Hello to the two people watching. Oh, my God. You're so lovely. Feel free to leave a little comment. And welcome. Big, big hugs. Like and subscribe. And let me know. I'll actually drag you onto the show if you want. Bring you on. Not drag you on. Oh, my God. So, she wrote Jessica Mason's cover. I think it's a Depeche Mode. That's right. From the official Depeche Mode. Here's the cover premiering on Sunday at 9 p.m. I love that Depeche Mode and Jessica Mason did a shared post together. And I wonder if she's been replying anywhere. Little gems you find sometimes in comments, you know, it is the person, you know, logging in. So lovely little kind of telling here. You can see it on the screen. And again, Bella with the tear. So please, there you go. And Joel, please. Yeah. Cannot do this without you. I'm taking you out with my best friend. Such a moving, you know, obviously can't play it, the original at least, for, oh, we have Johnny. He's joining. Let's go. What's up, Johnny? Hey, buddy.
What's up? How you doing?
Not bad, man. It's ever, always, and I was just telling the listeners and viewers, never any pressure, even for like patron peeps, whatever. I could literally just go off and go on. But how does the day find you, mate?
It's going good, man. I was definitely looking forward to jumping on to a lot more deep dives with the episodes we've been having lately. I feel like we've all needed some outlets for the emotions that these episodes have been feeling or making us feel. So yeah, I'm excited to be back on again.
Very glad that you've joined me again, buddy. Good man. This is John Gereza. Okay, Windmill Road. Go over to his tunes. We're going to be...
That's
we'll be
me.
So this is Jessica Mazin, Craig Mazin's daughter. She sang episode 6's rendition of Never Let Me Down again.
Yeah, remember? I didn't know that until later on. I just found out after the fact, which is a really nice surprise that... The Mazin family is representing. Speaking of representing
and families. Big hugs to Whitney. She usually joins us. No worries at all. Love. We'll see you on the next one. Sending you good vibes from John and I.
Lots of love, Whitney.
Yeah. But yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah. No. Like I was absolutely taken aback by this rendition of a classic.
Yeah, man.
For sure, because I was just listening to you for a little bit before jumping on, how it was a reflection of Ellie, and it's not something you would expect as a combination, you know, like putting a feminine touch to something that can already speak to almost everybody, or if not already everybody, pretty much. And to add that quality where it speaks to how Ellie's feeling at that given moment and how far her relationship with Joel has already come. It's a really great representation of the journey that they've been on so far.
Very eloquently expressed, man. I was also thinking just how quickly, considering that by this time on the game version we've spent, like, in some instances, especially if people are maybe coming up against like obstacles, strategic puzzles, you know, combat, they may have spent multiple weeks with these people, with these characters.
Right.
By this time in The Last of Us, the game story 2013, and then also the recent, you know, part one remaster. So it is a true testament, really, to Bella and Pedro that I feel just as invested, having spent now only, at this point at least, only 6 hours with them.
I think it's a great, like you said, it is a testament, because when Craig was talking about the medium, well, Craig and Neil in a couple of podcast episodes back, they have a completely different form of media to work with. It's episodic. It has a start and finish. You can't exactly have a controller in your hand and be able to pick it up and put it down whenever you want to as a viewer. So it's more like you're just strapped in and you're more on a natural roller coaster ride for whatever you've braced yourself for. You just don't know what's coming next. And you're taking all of this stuff in chunks the size of, you know, 45 minutes up to an hour. Whereas that relationship between Joel and Ellie has a lot more time to percolate, simmer, and sort of develop. And it has a lot more room to breathe from when you first hit start in the game, but you don't have that luxury in a way in an episodic format, because you have to be confident and precise with where you put these moments, like that moment with Joel and Ellie in the game.
I wonder if Neil may have encountered that, like when he was making, he's like, wow, like for me, we can kind of not wave this away as like, oh, the player will eventually figure it out. I mean, there is I did a whole presentation and article about it or whatever, about like this new breed of audience member, which is the player creator, like the consumer creator, because we're creating this and we are the art form, so to speak. So, but I wonder if Neil maybe was like, wow, like it's almost like storytelling on hard mode, because there's so much more control you have to have and intentionality, you know?
Yeah. Like they were saying, I remember watching the the making of part one all the way back in 2013. one of the guys was just saying at the very start, when you're creating a brand new IP or a brand new intellectual property from the very beginning, it's almost like game development on hard mode, because you're stepping into uncharted waters and it's like a completely different experience that you're like, a lot of people wouldn't be ready for. And it's the same thing when you're taking something so beloved into a different kind of medium.
Absolutely. Speaking of differences in mediums, you know, we have this scene, we have synergy that like it once again, there is,
oh my god,
can we just talk about how right now there are people, I mean this is beautiful, but where there are people, all of this is brand new to them, and starting their playthroughs of like maybe even part two, because they hear about Jackson, they're like, maybe they don't care too much about the whole story, they're like, I just want to play that whole environment. They like fall in love with the coziness of Jackson, they jump straight into part two. I always think about that. Do you know anyone in your circle who's like starting their Last of Us journeys based on like you being on this podcast, or the whole world kind of coming
around? Yeah, I wouldn't say in my immediate circle, because myself and Whitney have always been the duo of trudging through the emotional mass that has been this franchise. We're best friends, so like we've been through thick and thin of, you know, wading through what this experience has been. But for the most part, I've actually been looking out for any streamers actually on Twitch who have just started their journeys because of the show. And some of them, I've been a big fan of that actually, because like the way some people have just been exposed to this franchise for the first time because of the show, having not known the games before. It's the same thing when you've just begun your journey into this and you're like making your way through, and then you find out, oh wow, there is a part two, and it's nothing like, you know, the arrangement of themes that part one has. It continues them and it addresses them, but it moves on into a lot of other things that might, you know, jar them mentally that they wouldn't be ready for. And the reactions have been very, very intense, both good and bad. Like some of them did not take the big moments well, but it still has that effect that even if it's a newcomer to the series, they're still having those reactions that these masters of storytelling are trying to invoke.
Beautifully expressed. No, I am going to now, based on what you just mentioned, like just dive on in to
Yeah.
some Twitch streams just to see people, you know, like I, especially those who jumped on. Maybe there's
Yeah.
even some articles I would dare say, like, since the discourse around The Last of Us HBO is so centered on just how we are now. I mean, I believe we had achieved it at some point in the last, you know, five, 10-ish years, but I think Last of Us on HBO really has formalized and like solidified the growth and maturation, you know,
Yeah.
and transmedia kind of nature of games into film, into series. So this
Yeah.
beautiful tumult of like equal levels of quality, nothing's a tie-in to the other. And I found it's interesting. I earlier in the podcast I was doing some admin and I was still logged into, we do the Pokemon podcast too, and
Right.
yeah, and I think I sent to the Patreon like the brand new artwork for that. And believe it or
Yeah.
not, you know, there's a live action Pokemon series that's going to be set in the same universe of
Oh, really?
of Detective Pikachu is coming out, and Detective Pikachu 2
No
is
way.
it was announced.
Yes, I've been waiting for that.
Exactly. And I'm
Yeah.
serious, like I was initially very confused about like why we still kind of said these disparate levels like Pokemon, Last of Us, everything. It just felt so, you know, you'll see my, I'll share it later, but my Melbourne
Yeah.
Games presentation, I was like, shouldn't we have a different word for it or whatever? But it does kind of add to the, I mean, look at Naughty Dog, like they started with Crash Bandicoot and they still like
Right.
the full print and everything. There's even like references in episode 7. They're very
Right.
proud of
Yeah.
it. And I think now I've embraced it as like a marker of like true eclecticism that we can have
Yes.
The Last of Us doing so well, then absolutely. I don't even have to go into any deadline reports. I know that the eyes of these industries are looking at Last of Us and they see it doing well.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, based on that, you know, stocks are up on really high quality video game adaptations. So let's now approve
Yeah.
to Detective Pikachu 2, too, because it was like soft announced like a year or so ago, but it's
Right.
new
Yeah.
princess. So yeah, I just love that The Last of Us is like helping everyone, like not just HBO
Yeah.
Max, it's helping everyone. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. The word that comes to mind is herald. Like The Last
Yeah,
of Us
it is
HBO
heralding.
is heralding a new era of
It is.
what game to movie adaptations is starting to move into, and it's very promising.
Absolutely. John, would you like to say anything to the two people or the three people watching right now? Do you want to just make them blush a little? What do you want to tell them?
I would just like to send a lot of love for the fact that you are dedicating your much earned and precious time to this little corner, little tree
Thank
of the
you.
internet where we are just gushing and geeking about what is possibly one of the greatest forms of art that has graced our presence in this time. So thank you for joining us, and we love you for being here. All
The
the
love,
hearts, all the hearts. And all the hugs.
hearts and hugs. Can you write a song, please, John, called Hearts and Hugs? Could you do that, please?
Hearts and hugs. I will make a note of that right
Make a note
now.
of it.
It'll be a Patreon exclusive,
It will
and
be on the
you'll be
Windmill Road Patreon.
you will be
Over
the
now.
first. Yeah, you'll be
Instant
the first to know.
Yeah? Okay. So if I'm
Hearts and
serious.
hugs.
Windmill
No,
Road.
man, yeah. Like I totally can. Like I need to flex my songwriting muscles somehow. And this show is also helping with that. So
Okay.
yeah.
Well, this is what
It's
we
in the
want to see.
pipeline.
Excellent. Excellent. So if I were to go, for example, this is again, folks, if you jump on the Instagram, I'd be doing this kind of on the Patreon rather. I'd be sort of doing this anyway because I love John to my heart. But yes, it does so happen that if you were to jump on the Topic Network Patreon, so patreon.com/Topic Network, yo, if you have something like, again, John has Windmill Road. If I go Instagram.com/Windmill Road, will I come across a page of some kind?
It would be Windmill
Oh.
Road Music, one word.
I can't help it because I see the worthwhileness of what these amazing kindred people do, who inevitably are the ones that jump on that their you know, Patreon. I'm very, very grateful to do anything I can. Use the whole Topic Network as like a platform, and then also like an encouragement program of like I'm kind of motivating and like, you know, so do that. Be like John. Have something you're doing which makes me want to just like bring it up and like share it.
I will preface those that a lot of what I've been working on is just, I think transitionary is a word for it. Uh-huh. Listen, Whitney, we also want to know where your Patreon is, okay?
No,
I'm just going to dogging you for that.
You're just going to sit there. Now, this is the shaming minute where we like shame, but also love. Shame and love. There's another song title for you there.
Yeah, shame and love and hearts and hugs. That's going to be the first accessible content there on my Patreon.
On your Patreon. So get on it. In fact,
that's on record.
Folks, shall we? Let's do it. I like to do this because this worked with Julia the other day, actually.
What did you do with her?
I went to youtube.com/@ Twin Peaks Cafe, which is her, and you haven't been claimed yet. So then she immediately ran over to youtube.com/handle, which you should do, dude, if you haven't done it yet. And see, I've reserved Toby Podcast Network because now YouTube allows that.
Oh man, no way.
Are you ready? Check this out. Windmill Road is not taken. So you want to be grabbing that, dude. Go youtube.com /@, and we'll do it on the show now, man. Do it on the show.
I am going right now.
Very good. So while
you're doing it live,
John Gereza does that. Doing it live. Yeah. youtube.com/handle. Also, to anyone out there, like, make sure you do that. It was quiet. It was pretty stealthy. They sent some emails, but YouTube now lets you have your own username regardless of subscriber amount. So, and whatever, just make sure you're logged in and go to youtube.com/handle. Do that. A little bit of, you know, random PSA. So while Johnny Boy does that, our director, Jasmila Jvanik, I think I'm saying that correctly, revealed that the most emotional moment of episode 6 that made her cry behind the camera, in particular the scene where Joel confesses his fears to his brother Tommy and breaks down crying, whilst also explaining why Tommy needs to take his place in escorting Ellie across the country to the Fireflies, which is, I will also say, like, a pretty devastating scene, absolutely. Jvanik said that the scene was especially taken care of, and that it was very deep for both actors. It was so beautiful because it's a very long scene in the shoe shop, the director said. It's a very emotional scene for Pedro. I was filming him as a second. At first we filmed Gabriel, and then I noticed that each time we repeated, Pedro was crying. He was not on camera, but he was crying because he was giving his partner everything so that he can act, right? He was crying off screen, you know, so that to help Gabriel, John. This is very, very special. I know, right? It's so generous of an actor to do this so deeply. You know, I was amazed by Pedro's talent. Another important narrative moment in the episode was Ellie's confrontation with Joel, where both inadvertently confess their true feelings for each other in the scene. Ellie brings up Joel's daughter, Sarah, and tries to explain that she's not her. When asked about filming that moment, specifically the line where Joel says, "I sure as hell ain't your dad," Jvanik said it was emotional behind the scenes. Sometimes I'd be crying behind the camera because they were so truthful and beautiful. So the director themselves, Jasmila, who I just, if anyone knows, who knows someone who knows someone, can we just, like, just come on the show, Jasmila? We would love for you. Look at this amazing, amazing director.
Oh wow.
So shouts out to the Bosnian legend herself, Jasmila. So yeah, lots of love to you. What did you think of that shoe shop scene? I think it deserves, because it's not in the games. That's its own thing. I think it's just as iconic now, the idea of waking up having lost. I mean, you know, they were so concerned, they were, and appropriately, they keep things in proportion with, like, how do we adapt this beautifully or whatever. And that scene got the same amount of love and care and attention. I think, you know, Vela was like, let's get that iconic scene of, you know, mighty thin ice scene, etc. Like, everyone fucking except for you. But for me, the shoe shop scene is now its own iconic thing. What do you think, John?
I absolutely agree, because first off, it's a very powerful scene that you would need to enrapture viewers of TV shows who have never played the game before. So you need to be able to manifest that kind of reaction that you would have had a lot of time to lead up to in the games. Whereas in this show, you're being taken through each milestone of a moment in each episode, which in the game felt a little bit more seamless because there was no, opening and ending credits. There's no start and stop besides what the player can control. But for this scene, to have accentuated the impact that the scene that Joel and Ellie has in the house, because in the game, once you reach that point where Joel says, "You're not my daughter," and Ellie just lashes back with the powerful lines that she does, you're sort of hinted at that moment leading up. Like, for example, in the game, you have a little ride on horseback with Tommy looking for Ellie because she runs away. It was a search for Ellie, who had overheard Joel's intentions for her, and it's a very slow, not a slow burn, but it was a gradual lead up to that moment. But over here, that shoe shop scene is the biggest lead up to that scene in the house, because as if in the game it wasn't a hard enough punch, to see this Joel, like what Pedro has done with Joel as a character to complement what Troy Baker's Joel
Oh my
has
God.
established. Like, I have said to some of my friends that imagine if there was a Last of Us Part 3 and there was some sort of appearance of Joel as a flashback. Imagine Troy's and Pedro's Joel amalgamated into a Joel that we've never seen before to become this eponymous character that is just going to stand the test of time even more than he already has. And to have Joel show that much emotion, and he even before earlier in the episode he was already having anxiety attacks and Ellie thought he was dying as a joke, but in a way maybe he was already dying on the inside because of what this relationship is doing to him, that fear of losing another daughter. It has made an already powerful moment so much more powerful, and I think it just immortalizes how big of a deal and how much of a weight Joel has been bearing on himself, on his shoulders,
Yeah, dude.
through this journey, man. And like this show, like whenever, so Whitney and I have been watching it together as often as we can,
That's
and a
awesome.
lot of what we've been saying is this moment is better in the show than in the game.
A lot of it, and it's fine to admit that, because even Neil has had like at least two or three times, especially with, the infected kiss. He's like, that's something I wish I'd come up with, Sam's deafness. He was, oh, I wish I could come up with that. So it's, yeah, it's wonderful that they're so co-quality. Like the quality is equally, is shared b between the two. And it feels it's like Neil and Craig like hacked the Matrix, because this is technically not how it should be. The last people I knew who they hacked the Matrix was Irvin Kershner in with Empire Strikes Back. Like there was this thing that came after the first thing, and yet there is so many, you say it's just as good if not better. So it proves that it just, when you care enough and when you have the right people and maybe a little bit of luck, but I think,
A little bit.
I believe in that tenet of like luck is persistence, plus opportunity, something like that.
And I think going back to the show being a herald for a new era of adaptations, I think it's come to that point where this form of media needed the show because it has brought so many things to light. The fact that you have a lauded director or two lauded directors, both masters at their own craft, Neil being in games and Craig being in shows. And listening to how they talk, especially in the podcasts, it's almost like I remember describing it as Craig is the Neil of TV shows, Whereas Neil is the Craig of video games. And the fact that they've been married together to create this is something that I think the world has desperately needed.
I love it. It's like the cosmos itself wanted it to happen. Put these two people together.
Yeah.
Johnny, my boy, we have 15 more minutes before we have to talk about The Mandalorian, which is like the best kind of thing. Right. But in that last few minutes, we have so many. So folks, head over to their IMDb and in that wonderful, so informative, again, the trivia section, we like to highlight it because it often doesn't get highlighted enough. That Jess Miller, you know, behind the scenes nugget. Again, we're John and I, Whitney, everyone on the Topic Network crew, we're sort of bringing you along on this journey where we're discovering a lot at the same time as the community of these various sort of properties. And we come out of it every single time, not just having hung out with like wonderful kindred, like true like friends to the core, but also with this material, like it is more than it would have been if we hadn't dove in as we're doing. So Johnny, Whitney, and I know that Whitney potentially might be watching, but the love is real. And as you can see there, good vibes is part of the deal. So you will get good vibes. All right. So let's read a few more. So we have this scene, actually, it's about Joel and his brother improvising. Yeah. So Pedro Pascal and Gabriel Luna improvised part of the scene where Joel tells Tommy about his panic attacks. Town of Canmore, Alberta was used to replicate Jackson. Local businesses were transformed and buildings were constructed in the town, including a 60-foot tall log wall on a major street. So this is my dream. I love to do this. So I love Canada. First of all, have you ever been?
I have not. No, unfortunately. I do hope to.
Well, we both know where you and I are going to be meeting.
Yeah.
That's it right there. So
it'll be the most glorious meeting in the most important and meaningful place.
It's so funny. We went to Banff, right? Yeah, there it is. Oh my god. I think I've been here on our trip. I just had a flashback. Yo. Oh my god, I think I've totally been here, dude.
I'm seeing the flashbacks happening before your eyes right now.
In my eyes. Okay, hang tight. Talk to the people about any plans to go to Canada and if you have any like Canadian pals that you might like.
Oh man, I actually do. I have a friend over in Ontario who I have known for at least 6 or 7 years, and I think this just adds a lot more significance to the need to go to Canada, because we have been talking about linking up for a few years. So I think if I were to coordinate that with linking up with you, I'll be in the vicinity to make it a lot more likely of a meeting to happen.
Dude, exactly. Dude, I just put Canmore. I just typed Canmore in my photos app and it just came up. I've got 55 photos in Canmore. What the
fuck? No way.
Dude.
That's unreal.
A sort of recognizable town square-y type of thing. But just okay, where's something? Because there's a lot of photos of just like Ray and I hanging out.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I don't know if I can use the all right. Let's here we go, folks. Are you ready? I'm gonna try and be funky, even though I could also be described. We have so many more episodes. We're gonna have like off season episodes. We have time to jump back.
There's time.
So I'm just gonna share, yo. This is just a little bit of fun. You want to be okay? I'm gonna stop that, and I'm gonna share.
I'm down for some fun,
dude. Sarasla, will it let Sarasla. Me? Oh, Sarasla. Okay, no, it will That's let me. So this is Ray and I. Okay, and I don't know
you guys.
Oh, whatever. You're so sweet. And there in the very top, I don't know if I can zoom in, but yeah, you can see right there a tiny
written
Canmore. So that is
Canmore. Ray.
We literally went to Jackson. What the fuck?
That's awesome. Wow. And that was like 7 years ago. That's crazy.
So clearly wherever I walk, success follows. I'm kidding. Jesus Christ.
You just caused The Last of Us HBO to happen by going there, I think.
I did. It was just me. It was just that's it. Absolutely. By the way, there's actually gonna be this one and another one going up on topicnetwork.redbubble.com. So I'm just having a ball finding my own interpretations of these amazing symbols. And dude, is there a Windmill Road shirt I can get? And you better say yes. I'm gonna be so annoyed if you don't say yes.
I'm gonna say potentially yes.
Oh really? Okay, let me know, because then I want to wear that in some of our episodes. I'll pick one up.
It's not a solid yes, but it's definitely not a no.
We have a semi-congealed, semi-solid yes, folks.
For semi-solid, yeah.
Semi-solid. Well, I'm really vibing on this, dude. I'm really vibing on this. You know, there's two more things I want to talk about before we move on to some Mandalorian madness. First of all, what time is it there for you right now?
It is currently 12:51.
Okay, 12:51.
Yeah, just crossing to Sunday over here.
Okay, have a little bit of time. So let us jump on in. So the two more things I want to talk about, as well as Kenwell being amazing. So Joel's injury was altered from the game, in which he is impaled by a rebar after falling on a second-story balcony as the series is more grounded in its actions and impacts. That makes sense. That's fine. You didn't have any issues with that kind of adaptation?
No, difference? Not at all, no.
Excellent. And then as Joel and Ellie arrive at the Fireflies facility, they see a troop of monkeys wandering around the grounds. Ellie stares in amazement because this is the first time she's seen monkeys in person. The exact moment was also seen in The Last of Us with Joel asking, first time seeing a monkey. So just like
first time seeing a monkey.
So again, variances and then similarities. It's really good.
Yeah.
Rutina Wesley researched the game to capture the essence of Maria, but wanted to avoid replicating it. She found it terrifying to play a pre-established character, but wanted to add her energy onto it. She appreciated Maria's calmness as a leader and observed that she was a person who only smiles with her eyes. She thought Maria naturally entered a leadership role due to her history as an assistant district attorney, right? So Wesley felt Maria gravitated towards Ellie in a motherly manner without realizing, due in part to her pregnancy. Luna felt Tommy was drawn towards Maria due to her mercy and her strength. He thought Tommy felt guilty for moving on from Sarah's death, whereas Joel has not. So Rutina. So Wesley, ladies, actually, I did set this up. So for Rutina, everybody, let's go. You like that? I've got an applause track now.
That's awesome. I love
it. That came through?
It did, yeah.
You heard that? Okay, fantastic.
I did.
Love and light to Rutina.
It's the first step to having a full steamed stream deck.
We will have a full stream deck, and it'll be this jerry-rigged crap, because I will never do OBS. Screw you, OBS. Why are you so complicated?
Shots fired.
Ooh, no, it's okay. OBS does AWA's work, I'm sure. So back to where have we got here? I've got a couple of different. All right. And we'll just bring up this little gallery here just as we round things off. But yeah, dude, in our last 8 minutes, was there anything from this episode? I'll bring up some photos for like reference so that you can talked about it. I think you were here with the after show, I'm guessing.
I wasn't, unfortunately.
You weren't. Now is your opportunity. Just watched it. What was your one big moment from this episode that you wanted to like commit to podcast tape?
I mean, it's got to be the house episode or the house scene for me, because I mean, I can pick and choose. There's probably at least 20 moments that are on the same level. That table scene when they were just arriving at the town, and that actually, just real quick with that scene, when Ellie tells Joel say congrats,
exactly
when, and it made me think immediately back to episode 2 where when Joel first noticed that Tess, rest in peace Tess, you beautiful soul, where Tess was trying to get Joel to calm down, and I think you had mentioned before that Tess was one of the few in Joel's life that had an influence on him. And now that Tess is gone and Ellie has become the one person in Joel's life who he's becoming a lot closer to, it would only make sense that Ellie would be the one person who has the most influence over Joel. And that that seeing Ellie tell her, tell him to say congrats, and he immediately complies. I don't think anyone else in that room, besides Tommy maybe, would have been able to get Joel to do that. You know,
Absolutely.
and the sniper rifle scene was probably the most bonding we've ever seen these two have.
Yeah, man.
But I think it's put together with the shoe shop scene leading up to the possibly greatest scene in the entire franchise so far.
The
That
confrontation.
entire that entire sequence, I think, is what what's what how what cemented to me as the reason that this franchise exists.
Dude, ladies and gentlemen, John DeRosa. Because the man, and again, not making, oh, this is, look at Whitney saying, I need 12 of those shirts. Ha ha ha. 12 of the Windmill Road shirts, I'm sure you mean, Whitney.
We'll make that 24. It'd be 12, 12 TPNs and 12 Windmill Roads. Let's just
Right.
break it even there.
Sweethearts all over the. Sweet L2, the Bloodborne. Sweethearts all over the shop. You'll be one of them sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
Indeed. So I'm glad you get that reference. Yeah, he picks up. He's fast.
Yeah,
He's fast.
man. Bloodborne.
Yeah, I love it. Well, folks, we have just a few minutes to spare, but with those few minutes, let me tell you right now, first of all, you want to be going to, and I'm going to type it out in full, youtube.com/@road. Wait, windmill road. Did you get it? Did you're going windmill road music? Is that what you're gonna do?
Windmill music, yep, that's the
I love
one.
it. I love it. And we have just subscribed to him, so that's it. Let it begin, folks. Everybody watching this on the replay, when you go check out the Avatar podcast and you see this in the window and you check this out, whatever, like, let's just funnel it all to my good friend John right here. So windmill road music, that just happened now. A chronicle of history in the making. On this
Happened live.
very, very excited, dude. So you've been a gem, as always, legend, beyond legend, dude, for joining me. And I'm gonna hang out with John and whoever else wants to jump into this, like, because we have a little green room type of place we all hang out in. But you've been all so lovely worldwide, for joining us. Gonna jump behind the scenes with John now, but everybody have a lovely rest of your day. Bye.
Bye.